T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Lenny Kravitz is your artist of the day. Oh, Hollywood, have you nothing new? And I know Jamie and Grayson talked about this today, but we must discuss. Did you hear what 80s sitcom they're bringing back?
I'm not a fan. The bend.
A brand new life is ahead for the vintage sitcom Who's the Boss and its devoted fans. Tony Danza and Alyssa Milano are set to reprise their father-daughter roles for a sequel that is now in the works at Sony Pictures, according to the studio today.
Devoted fans?
Yeah, I kind of looked at Sam when you said devoted fans.
I'm just reading from the script. The original series ran from 1984 to 1992. It was a huge hit for ABC, if not a critical darling. A total of 196 episodes aired over its 8 seasons. The modern-day reboot revolves around Danza's Tony Maselli, a former ball player and now retired housekeeper, and Milano's Samantha. The daughter lives in the home where the original series was set and is a single mother.
Okay, wait. Tony Danza is almost 70 years old.
Okay, that's not that old.
Judith Light is 71.
It's not clear whether she's going to come back. And it's not clear whether her son, Danny Pintero, who played her son Jonathan, is coming back either. Grandma ain't coming back. Mona died last year.
Tony Danza is one of those actors, and correct me if I'm wrong here, after Who's the Boss, did he ever do anything else?
I don't think so. I'll look it up.
I don't think he, I mean, he's just been...
Just living off the royalties or what? Does it play anywhere?
I don't know.
Yeah, I'll look it up. Oh, yeah. Look at him. He still looks good.
I mean, he looks good.
He's gray, but he looks good.
He was in Taxi.
Well, that was before. That was way before.
The Good Cop in 2018.
He was in the movie Crash. Remember that?
He had the Tony Danza show for 2 years.
Yeah.
He's made a lot of appearances. Like, he was in Hudson Street for 22 episodes.
Huh.
The Practice for 4 episodes, Family Law for 25 episodes. Oh, Tony Danza's show aired for 330 episodes,
wow,
which is to say a year and a half.
The show was one of the most popular sitcoms of the mid to late 80s.
He's been busy.
It was nominated for more than 40 awards and was very successful in the ratings, consistently ranking in the top 10, and is in syndication worldwide.
There's the money.
Huh.
Mm-hmm. And before you go making fun of him...
I'm not making fun of him.
He won a Golden Globe Award for his role in Taxi, and he won a Golden Globe Award for his role in Who's the Boss in 86, 87, and 89.
Good.
What's the 80s show you want to come back?
None of them. I want them to stay where they belong, back in my memory in the 80s.
You don't want one single one to come back?
No. I mean, there were some turds, too. Remember Alf?
Alf was bad.
None of them need to come back.
Wait. Now, hang on. Before you go getting all uppity and, you know, I remember the 80s.
There just are no new ideas, apparently. Because they keep bringing...
Have you seen the new Red Dawn and the new Footloose? You're right. Oh, my God. They were awful. Okay. Let me ask you if you would welcome back this sitcom. Now, of course, you would have to rework it because some of the people are dead.
Yeah, there's that.
Tell me if you would like this sitcom to come back. You ready?
Mm-hmm. You and me. We gotta be. No. No. Didn't they try to do this with Full House and it lasted like five minutes?
Well, no, they did not. They did Fuller House and they put it on Netflix and it lasted for three seasons.
Surprisingly so.
Yep.
I don't want any of it to come back. None of it. Remember Mr. Belvedere? God, I'd forgotten about that.
All right. If there is a 1970/80s show that I want to come back.
Is it Charles in Charge?
It is not. I don't want Charles in Charge of me.
Nobody wants Charles in Charge to come back.
This is the one that, if it was on at night and I can't find it anywhere, I can't even find it on like TV Land or My TV or anything.
Uh-huh.
I would watch this in reruns till the cows came home. Exciting and new.
Not during Corona, it ain't.
Come aboard. We've been expecting you. Come aboard.
I am scrolling through the hits of the 80s. None of these should come back. None of them.
Now, wait a minute. There was a comeback a couple of years ago that actually did pretty well. Hang on just a second. Here we go. Dallas did well.
It didn't do it. I would not say it did well.
Well, it didn't do poorly, and then Larry Hagman died.
But you have to just leave that where it was. It was never going to be what it was.
No, God, no. God, no.
People Sam's age don't know who Sue Ellen is.
Sam, who's Sue Ellen?
Who?
Sue Ellen. Ewing?
Who?
Who's Bobby Ewing?
Who's Pamela?
I have no idea. Pamela is my mother's name.
Who's J.R. Ewing? Who is J.R. Ewing?
I don't know.
Whoa,
any of these.
Wow!
You don't even know who J.R. Ewing is.
No, I would look it up real quick so
Jacques?
I can act like I did.
Miss Ellie? Anyone? Anyone?
I do not recall ever seeing an episode of the show that we are discussing.
Oh, God.
Do you remember that Cliff and his scheming ways? I can almost list every single character on that show. I am not even kidding you. And then Gary Shackelford played the hot brother that was married to Pamela. I even know the actor's name. What is wrong with me? And then there was Charlene Tilton, that little hussy.
Yeah, she was a hussy.
I'm not even looking this up. I just know,
I know you're
that
not.
Her name is Charlene Tilton. What is wrong with me?
It was a great time in America, Dana. It was a great time. Ronald Reagan was president.
I always remember my grandfather, my dad's dad would pretend that he just couldn't stand Dallas.
Just a good old boy.
But that theme song would come on, and he was the same with Knott's Landing, and he would try to pretend like he didn't want to watch it. And then as soon
as... Was it Knott's Landing or Falcon Crest that was the spinoff?
Knott's Landing was the spinoff. With Valene, hello?
Duh.
So my grandpa, after every episode, would shake his head like he's disgusted with himself and go, just a bunch of sex. And then he would just shake his head and walk away from the TV. But then every Friday night.
Every Friday night.
7 o'clock.
No, 7 o'clock.
Oh, man.
No.
He would be right there.
No. 7 o'clock was Dukes of Hazzard. 8 o'clock was Dallas.
Because it was steamy.
You remember Catherine Bach on the Dukes of Hazzard standing there in her bikini in the intro? I mean, I didn't even know what downstairs meant. But, man, I started figuring out real quick.
Sweet young Sam.
That is me.
The finale of Dallas is one of the most watched.
No, that was the Who Shot JR episode.
Episode, yes, Who Shot JR was one of the most watched episodes in the history of television in the United States, and I think it's second only to
the finale of MASH.
That's right.
And maybe a Super Bowl here or there.
Oh, no. Super Bowls always top those. But if you're just talking about viewing television shows.
Yes.
Number
finale
one.
To MASH.
I still think. Look, will you look it up? I think it's still the finale of MASH with 116 million.
My computer is not loading.
And then
a
Who,
single thing
Who
right
Shot
now.
JR was right behind it. Hang on. I'll look that up.
And before somebody
writes and goes, can we talk about something important?
It was
Yeah,
Kristen.
We'll talk about coronavirus next.
By the way, it was Kristen who shot JR.
Yeah, we know, Dana.
Well, Sam does.
Allegedly.
Oh, No.
She totally did it.
Yeah.
Lussie.
Let's see here. Most watched TV shows of all time. Do. I'll go through the...
Yeah, because I want to know what the other eight are.
Who cares about the Super Bowls? Game of Thrones? What do you know?
That would be impressive if it is, because you have to subscribe to that.
No, that's not right. Okay, here we go. The Super Bowls take 1 through 8.
Okay.
MASH is the first non-Super Bowl show at number 9.
Okay.
1983, February 28th, with 106 million viewers. Then you go through 1,000 more Super Bowls. Good Lord. In fact, of 1 through 30, listen to this, Dana. 1 through 30 of the most watched TV shows of all time, 29 of them are Super Bowls. There is only one show.
Wow.
And it's MASH.
Wow.
At number 9.
We like our football.
Yeah, we're running late. Sorry. Dallas's 1980 Whodunit is number 2, non-Super Bowl, and the Cheers finale is number 3. 5767798. Sorry, guys. Sorry, way too late. Somebody asked, what was the most watched Super Bowl? Good question. Super Bowl 49 between the New England Patriots and the Seattle Seahawks.
Blech. A Kansas mayor has resigned.
He's
accused of counterfeiting, but not what you think. The Goddard mayor today has resigned his post, accused of using fake zoo fundraiser tickets with his wife at Sedgwick County's annual Zubilee fundraiser.
Hmm.
Jamie Bluebaugh and his wife were each charged today with one count of counterfeiting. Court documents accused the couple of using counterfeit tickets to attend last year's Zubilee, the zoo's biggest fundraiser. Tickets were $165 each.
Hmm.
Blubaugh resigned as mayor on Monday, citing ongoing conflicts with himself and the city administrator. The DA's office says the charge reads as follows. He did then and there unlawfully manufacture, use, display, advertise, distribute, or possess with the intent to distribute any item or device knowing that such item or services bear or are identified by a counterfeit mark, to wit, 2019 Zubilee tickets and a retail value of such item or services less than $1,000. How bad do you want to go to Zubilee?
Not that bad.
That you fake two tickets as the mayor, I assume you can just go to Zubilee.
You probably just ask.
I mean, I love Jazzu. Love it.
I know you do. You go every year.
Who counterfeits tickets to something called Zubilee? If that goes on his record, if he is convicted, would you not go around telling everyone you just counterfeited money? Like, I would just not tell anyone it was Zubilee tickets.
By the way, did you see the congressman from the 2nd District, whose name escapes me at the moment? Somebody help me out if you can. Lost his primary last night. He was charged with several felonies.
Yeah.
Voters, for whatever reason, don't like it when they're members of Congress or their mayors or whomever get charged with crimes.
It was the guy who was accused of voting
in two separate places.
In two separate places, right. Or in the wrong place.
Right.
Watkins.
Oh,
I knew his name was Steve.
Steve Watkins, yes. And he mistakenly registered his address as a UPS store. Now, listen to me and hear me good. I've lived in the same house for about 10 years. And if someone was to say, Scott, you need to register to vote, I would give you my address and I would know it. I would not list the Taco Bell over there by the Walmart in Roland Park. I would give you my address. And that would be where I am registered to vote. The irony that this guy is registered to vote in two different places. And if I have to spell out the irony, then you're not paying attention.
I would rather be charged with illegal voting than counterfeiting Zubilee tickets.
And you are hard up for those animals. My God, son.
It's about the animals. It's all about the animals.
Telephone number here is 576-7798. 576-7798. The mayor of Goddard is out. He apparently, allegedly, forged tickets to go to Zubilee. That's a big one. That is a big one. 576-7798.
Carry on my wayward son. There'll be peace when you are done. Lay your weary head to rest. Don't you cry no more.
Well, we have sad news this afternoon. You may remember the name Daisy Coleman, the woman whose sexual assault case as a teenager in Missouri captured national attention, has apparently died by suicide, according to her mother. Melinda Coleman posted on Facebook that her daughter was found dead after she asked police officers to check on Coleman's well-being on Tuesday night. Quoting here from a Facebook post from Melinda Coleman, the mom, she was my best friend and an amazing daughter. I think she had to make it seem like I could live without her. I cannot. I wish I could have taken the pain from her. She never recovered from what those boys did to her, and it's just not fair. The Kansas City Star, you may recall, investigated Coleman's sexual assault case in a series of stories about felony charges against boys accused of sexually assaulting her and a friend during a January 2012 party in Maryville.
Remember, this was the one in Maryville, if you're trying to recall this specific case, where she was raped and then left outside in the cold. And by the time they found her
in the snow,
by the time they found her, I believe, was she hypothermic and near death?
I believe that's right.
And her assailant was never convicted of the sex assault charge.
Correct.
He did plead guilty. Was it child endangerment or something for leaving her body out in the snow? And she was 14 at the time.
Let's see here. The charges were dropped.
You remember, Scott, that whole town, I don't want to say the entire town, she was bullied, their house was burned, the family was basically run out of town.
Mm-hmm.
And
he was a popular athlete.
Yes, yes. And the town sided with the accused. And then she went on, within maybe 2 years ago or 3 years ago, there was a Netflix documentary about the case and the town and everything that the family went through after the sex assault.
It was called Audrey and Daisy. It was released in 2016.
Yeah. Yeah. And number one, you can't imagine going through something like that. Your daughter, your family, any of that stuff, Scott. But then on top of that, you had the town, I mean, harassing this girl.
Right.
And then on top of that, you have Hollywood knocking on the door. Let's do a Netflix documentary about the most awful experience of your life. And I remember when they released the documentary thinking, ooh, just not being, I guess, comfortable because of the girls' ages with doing that. But then you think, well, maybe they wanted to reclaim their voice and let everyone know this is our story and this is what happened.
And by now she's an adult or was an adult. Is that correct?
I need to look at what year the documentary was released.
Well, the documentary was let me get my tongue back in my mouth. The documentary was released in 2016. The assault occurred in 2012. The alleged assault occurred in 2012. So it was 8 years ago.
So she would have been just 18 when the documentary.
So she would have been 22 now.
I believe so.
Roughly, theoretically.
It's just a lot. You cannot imagine having your sex assault in the headlines for years.
Mm-hmm.
Because of what happened in the town and the trial. And
there were allegations that the young man who was accused was connected politically, if I'm not mistaken. So I'm let me throw the word allegedly in here, that he was politically connected, family was well known in town, and now this girl goes and sadly, regrettably, commits suicide.
It's just a very, very, very sad story.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. What do you do about it? I think there is anything you can do, is there?
I don't.
Said mom, let me just read the last part of her Facebook post. She had many demons and had been facing and overcoming them all. But as many of you know, healing is not a straight path, nor an easy one. She fought longer and harder than we will ever know. But we want to be mindful of all the young survivors who looked up to her. Please know that above all else, she did this work for you.
Yeah, she founded
a charity.
Yeah, like a nonprofit that would help middle school and high school mm-hmm. students who are victims of sex assault.
Safe Bay, safe, common spelling, BAE, all caps. Safe Bay.
And I looked this up. I don't know if this is... if this was true at the time of her death, I assume there is no way in hell she lived in Maryville. I mean, you would just never go back.
Probably not.
A couple of years ago, sadly, she lost her brother in a car wreck, the youngest of her three brothers, okay, on I-70. And
oh, God.
It said at the time she was living in Colorado.
I think Jean Peters Baker investigated that case and chose not to seek charges. Do you remember that?
I would have to look it up. Authorities reopened the case when a 2013 report in the Kansas City Star caused the small town scandal to go viral. Ultimately, a special prosecutor, Jean Peters Baker, reviewed the matter, and the 19-year-old man in question pleaded guilty to misdemeanor child endangerment. At the time of the plea, he apologized to Daisy.
Well, I'm sorry I left you in the snow, allegedly.
Yeah, that family, my God, Scott. In 2009, the mother lost her husband, a physician, in a car accident. 2 years ago, mom lost the younger brother.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and then this week, Daisy. I mean, it's just, when you go back and look, you almost cannot imagine one family having to go through so much.
Sure, of course. Telephone number here is 576-7798. This is not how we thought this story would end. And it is a sad ending to an already sad story. But Daisy Coleman, sadly, regrettably, ended her own life. She was the girl, and we talked about this on the show for quite a while, who was left in the snow after allegedly being sexually assaulted. Left in the snow naked, by the way.
I think she was barely clothed is a more accurate description.
Okay,
but
fine, fair point.
In sub-freezing temperatures.
576-7798. Sam Stevie the Third, Dana Wright. I'm Scott Parks on KMBZ.
What would I do without your smart mouth? Drawing me in and you kicking me out. You've got my head spinning, no kidding. I can't pin you down. What's going on?
One of the nicest human beings I ever met.
I'm on your magical mystery ride. And I'm so
story here from CBS News.
So no one hit me, but I'll be all right.
In late June, the CDC got a call from health officials in Arizona and New Mexico that some residents had swallowed alcohol-based hand sanitizer. The events occurred shortly after the U.S. Food and Drug Administration warned the public about specific hand sanitizers containing methanol, a poisonous chemical for human consumption and an ingredient that does not belong in these products. Between May and June, 15 people were admitted to the hospital after ingesting methanol-containing hand sanitizer. Four of them died. Three were discharged with near or total vision loss, while six patients experienced seizures. The CDC released their report today on the incidents after reviewing 62 Poison Center call records. All of the adults had a history of swallowing alcohol-based hand sanitizer. What? You have a history?
Yeah.
The CDC says those with alcohol use disorder might intentionally swallow these products as an alcohol substitute.
Yes, yes.
Why not just go to the liquor store?
When I first saw the headline, Scott, that said people are drinking hand sanitizer, and I said this out in the newsroom, I said this story is not going to be because they think it kills COVID. This is going to be about severe alcoholism.
Mm.
It's happened here.
Go to the liquor store.
Well,
for the love of Christ, go to the liquor store.
I
and then go home.
You would have to ask, but I believe before COVID, I don't know about now, they would not have stocked hand sanitizer in like a rehab facility. It is.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah. There have been stories done on this prior.
I remember when I was in college in the summer, I was working at Food for Less in Leavenworth. And it was right across the street from the VA. And I could never figure it out. I was a night stalker, not a stalker.
Stalker.
Stalker. And I would stock the shelves at night from 10 p.m. to 6 a.m. And I was always amazed how many guys would come walking over from the VA across the street in Leavenworth and would park their butts in the oral hygiene aisle.
Yeah.
And would drink Listerine. And I'm thinking to myself, as they're passed out on the floor, dude, the beer case is right around the corner. You could have gone over there.
This is from Channel 3 in Las Vegas. A pump of hand sanitizer might seem innocuous, but for those recovering from alcohol addiction like Chris Gordon, it can be dangerous. He says, vodka to me is what it smells like, and unfortunately, I drank a lot of vodka in my day. During the pandemic, health professionals are urging everyone to sanitize, and while they say a high percentage of alcohol in hand sanitizers can kill the virus, some experts worry about the impact it may have on those recovering from alcohol addiction. And that is because hand sanitizers contain a high percentage of either ethyl or isopropyl alcohol.
Yeah, up to 60%.
Yep, and it is banned at recovery centers for that very reason.
And some of those that were made by a distillery, it's actually made with bad gin.
That's yeah.
What they turned into hand sanitizer was what the batch of gin that went wrong.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Listen, man, I've had my fight with alcohol. I get it. You couldn't pay me to drink mouthwash. And you certainly couldn't pay me to drink this stuff here.
And I mean,
this stuff is just...
It would kill you, wouldn't it? Just because it's not just the alcohol. It's the aloe and whatever they put in it to make it a gel is not something one should be ingesting.
I'm not going to say the name of the company, but this is... hand sanitizer, okay? It's full. I haven't used it. Would you care to guess the alcohol content?
Oh, I bet it's a big number.
Well, duh.
I don't know, 90.
Nope, lower.
80?
Lower.
70?
Yep.
70%.
70% alcohol in this bottle.
But yeah, it's not like vodka. There's stuff in there.
It'll kill you.
That will kill, yeah. And I don't know, what is the word for the gel I'm looking for? Don't you remember at the beginning of the pandemic, people were trying to make their own hand sanitizer, which...
That's what he was just talking about.
Well, but I have a girlfriend who actually did it, and she used aloe vera and something to make it, and a whisk to make it have that consistency. But God, you wouldn't want to ingest it.
If swallowed, get help.
Yeah. Is that what it says?
Yes, yes.
According to Healthline.com, it is aloe vera that they use to make it.
If swallowed, get help.
Yes, that's what it says on the back.
Oh, my goodness.
For external use only. I mean, it's got aloe, barbadaneous, leaf juice, butylene.
I have leaf juice in there.
Caprofil, glycol.
That's why we use Medzone in the office.
Carbomer. That's right.
Have any of those preservatives and additives in there.
Oh, purified water.
There you go.
Okay.
Purified water is...
Phenoxyethanol ethanol and triethanolamine.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, none of that sounds like it's going to work good in my body.
People have Googled this. Is drinking hand sanitizer safe? No.
No. If you drink it, you're dumb.
Well, or you have a serious addiction.
You think?
Just two letters in 96-point font. No.
News is next here on KMBZ. 5 o'clock hour is next.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.